Blog
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the May 19th, 2010, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. West Coast, Wednesday night edition of the show. I'm your host, Mr. Tommy Wildfire Foltermeyer. Yes, that is correct. I am the sports entertainment figure of your world that is constantly wrestling with most of you, trying to get you to understand my views. And I'd like to thank you guys for joining me tonight for the latest installment of Your World, My Views. I would definitely like to thank you guys for joining us this past Monday night at the Vino Libro 933 Garrett Street, Atlanta, Georgia, on a beautiful evening where the weather was about, I'd say it was about 88 degrees. Beautiful weather. Sun, wine, and black folks talking about light skin versus dark skin. And on that note, I'd like to bring in my fabulous co-host, my co-hostess, Miss Renee Rennie Bishop. Renee, what's happening?
Not much. How are you?
I'm fine, that's what they say, but I think they just be talking. Maybe just something they say, and they just try to make me feel better about myself. But in turn, it does. It does work. Now, in the show, we were talking about light skin versus dark skin, and then you got into it because I think you're dark, and you don't think you're dark. So what we're going to do is take on just the show in general, and what you got out of it, and the interaction between the three people, I mean... I know, it is all because of the news, but you're right. You know, I'm going to cut this off. I don't even want to hear it no more. What I'm going to do is, I know this is one of the few times we're not supposed to do this, but I got to cut the music. I got to. I'm going to cut the music because I really want to know what you thought about. What you thought about the show? What did you get out of it?
Well, you know, it was very interesting. I had a discussion with a friend of mine who was there, wanted to get his take on the situation. After looking at everything, I see what my thought process was initially, and that's what I went based on, was my thought process of light versus dark, kind of like the Republican versus the Democrat, where there are others sitting on the sideline looking at those two main categories. It was interesting. I thought that a lot of people still held old views as far as, you know, 1950s or the viewpoints of when this southern United States was more segregated than it is now. As far as that whole brown paper bag test, I don't know anybody who does that brown paper bag test in 2010. But it almost sounded like some people still do.
It wasn't that you ain't got to. You don't have to still do it to know it exists. And I think that's what everybody was saying was, if you want to go back to a term, if you're looking for a median, and you had asked me for a median, what would you call? So once you get to the point where you say, what would you call? Somebody has to come up with something. So we went back to what was already established. Paper sack test.
Okay. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
but.
We didn't have one there because I got one right here.
No, yeah, we didn't have one. Okay, when you put that sack up to your arm, who is lighter, you or the sack? When you put it up
to
your face, because that's what people see. There we go with that again. We're about the same. I got about the same amount of money as the dude that got $10 because I got $8.50. I got about the same, but he can get in the club because he got $10, and it costs $10 to get in the club. I need somebody to let me borrow $1.50.
All right, right. I got you. Well, I hear you.
You put that brown paper bag that Young Jesus and them talk about, they moving their stuff in. You put that brown paper bag up to your face. Are you telling me that you're the same color as that brown paper bag.
Oh, I'm not. I'd have to get up and go to the other room to see, because I don't have.
You remember what that paper bag looked like, and you see your face every day. You just take a guess at it. Let's just take a guess at it.
I'd say I'm darker than the bag.
All right, that's right. But then you would be, not because the bag is the middle. The bag ain't even light skin. The bag is the middle.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they use to find out if you're in the middle or not.
Mm-hmm.
You're worthy. So what you found was that the people were still using something, and it was like that's all we had left because we were trying to delineate. We were trying to make mm-hmm. it the way you're in or you're out. Can't have $9.97. You still can't get in the club because it costs $10 to get in. So at the end of the night, we got to say the people who attended and the people who didn't attend. We can't say almost a 10, 37 degrees, close to it, a 10. Then that just might as well say everybody was at the club if you're going to use that as a. But,
right.
You know, I got to say something. And maybe I'm just stupid. And maybe I just don't get it.
Oh.
I want to talk about, first off, the show, the way how I've noticed that I brought out in the show, if you guys didn't hear it. I brought out that in every show we have to have white people in the show. And just to
television
boost
shows,
my point,
you know, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And I'm just to boost my point. I'm watching what is this show? The one produced by Tyler Perry, the Brown, Meet the Browns.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's on right now.
No, you.
No, I was just saying. It's on. I know. I did what?
Well, I didn't know if you were talking about House of Pain.
No, Meet the Browns is on right now.
Oh, okay, okay.
I'm looking at it. It said Meet the Browns. I could be
okay.
Not able to read. That's possible.
No, I just
Meet
said
the Browns.
Yeah.
Okay, but anyway, Meet the Browns. Will you not let me finish a story? What is? Where does this come from?
I said yes. Go ahead.
All right. I'm watching Meet the Browns, and then Meet the Browns Day again. I'm looking at the first scene. I've never seen this in the sounds down because, of course, I'm doing the show. But it is on, and I would never watch a Tyler Perry movie, although he's going to be on the show next week. I would never actually watch a Tyler Perry movie, a show, because I'm just not really into that stuff. But the first opening scene I see here, white woman in there as well. So we like putting them in our stuff. Or very light, or very whatever. I looked at what's her name's face. Used to be married to what's his name? The Simmons, Russell Simmons.
Kamora Lee.
Yeah, Kamora Lee. That's not just a beautiful woman. We only call her beautiful because she got black long hair and she light skinned. If you look at her, her nose looked messed up. The woman from that tiny girl. Whatever her name is, Tiny Toya. That Tiny is look like a pig. She looked like Little Pig. And she's going to be on the show in a week from now.
Yeah, she just dropped out of queue.
Yeah. But she looked like a pig. Her nose looked a mess. But, because she's light-skinned, she get away with a lot of stuff, especially with me. And, again, that's what the show was about. And what I didn't get a chance to get into, so I just want to ask, we probably end up having to do a part four, but I'm still going to just ask you straight up. Do you think there's anything wrong with having a preference? Meaning, say if a person says, I only date light-skinned people, I only date, if they say I only date light-skinned people, you think that's wrong?
No, I don't think there's anything wrong because I'm drawn 90-something% to dark-skinned men. So, no, you prefer what you prefer. Who am I to tell you to date something different?
Right. And, you know, the funny thing about that is, to me it is, the funny thing is if a girl says, I only date dark-skinned men, I love my chocolate brother, no one says a word. No one jumps
right.
up and says, that's messed up. You're racist. If someone hops up and says, man, I only date light-skinned girls. I love my caramel sisters or my mocha sisters. Or my, not mocha, what would it be, French vanilla. Yeah, I love my French vanilla sisters. You get crucified. Why is that?
don't know. That's just a double standard. One of the many that exist.
And one of the many that's created by the people who decide because we're on the bottom, we get to dictate how, or because we're on the perceived bottom, we get to dictate how everybody else acts around us, even though the way we're acting is not fair.
Right.
And honestly, the way if you get on, again, if a black comedian gets on TV and talk about the white people in the room, the white people are supposed to laugh. They cannot cry racism.
Right.
But if a white comedian does the exact same thing, there's a problem.
Right.
Do you have any idea where this problem exists or why this problem exists?
Oh,
and this is Your World, My Views. Make sure I let everybody know. This is Your World, My Views. Just tuning in. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you got some people you want to let them listen to them, tell them to go to www.yourworldmyviews.com and click on the Listen Now button. Or call in if you can't get near your computer, 347-989-8310. Now, go ahead and ask the question.
Well, that's a heavy question. I have no idea why those issues still exist or where they originated from. I can't honestly begin to figure that out. I often wonder, I know that we had a show where we discussed, I don't remember the title of it, but basically, you know, will there ever be a utopia? Will there ever be where everybody's as one or these issues won't exist? And I honestly doubt it. It just seems like something that somebody's going to continue to carry it on.
Yeah. And
like
it's like, the thing is, as long as there are differences between people, this will exist, correct?
Yes.
Unless we have a bunch of clones, as long as there are differences between people, this will exist.
Right.
And
yeah.
I don't really know a way around it.
I don't know a way around it either.
I way around the fact that LaTiffany ain't getting no sound.
What is the point of me doing anything in private when somebody's going to air it? I mean,
because I think it's funny. So what I need to do is, it's funny to me. You don't find it funny?
I didn't say you couldn't find it funny. I'm just like, really?
You know what? No, I don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why they're not getting any sound, but I know I'm not getting any sound either.
Oh.
That's weird.
Wow.
Say it again.
Yes, I am.
No, it's just her. I don't know why they're not getting it online. They have to check it out for themselves. But this is Your World, My Views, and if it's not getting any sound, then it's just my views not being displayed in your world. But if you are getting some sound, thank you guys for continuing to listen. Thank you guys for putting up with a lot of our issues that we've been having. We've been having a lot of issues. Man, what do you think is up with that? Do we need to hire, like, a phone dude?
We're not hiring one near person. No, we
okay.
don't need to hire anybody.
But
there are upgrades to come. As long as you guys keep, you know, the donations coming, I promise to you that we will keep the upgrades. How about that? I'll do it like your local public broadcast station. In order for us to continue to bring you this live, educational, entertainment, informative, week after week, we rely on donors like you.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the one thing that's killing me, and I'm going to tell y'all. If you are currently on chat, somebody from What's Up, Thomas, and you know I'm doing my show because you're on Facebook, and you see I just said it.
What's up with that?
Please do me a favor. Delete yourself.
Oh.
Just do me a favor. Delete yourself.
I get that, too.
Really?
I get that, too. That
I'm like,
really
nah. What is up with that? What you doing? I'm just chilling. Doing what?
Damn.
Is it just me? And me, I get too frustrated. I think that's the problem. I get way over frustrated. Stuff frustrates me, and I don't know how to, you know, it'd be like I'd be on my period that day. So I don't know how to not be upset, pissed off, or whatever other word you want to use. But I think to myself, what a wonderful world. That's what I think to myself. What a wonderful world. But anyway, this is Your World, My Views. Today we're going to be talking about conquering debt. We need to talk about conquering Negroes. Y'all Negroes are starting to get under my skin. Y'all are. Is there something to get on my nerve? I'm just about to put it up. I'm about to post. If you ain't listening to my show and you on my list, delete yourself. Just delete. I'm going to put it up there. Just delete yourself. Really.
Oh, my God.
Just delete your damn self. Thank you guys for joining us tonight. Again, we're going to be talking about conquering debt. We're going to try to talk to you guys about ways where you can get your debt under control, where you don't have these badass 495s running around. We don't have these, you know, because actually, if I had a 495, it'd be an upgrade. Just going to say that. But, you know, so most of this show is for my own benefit. Hopefully, I can walk away with you.
Make sure you get paper and pen so that you can take notes.
Well, yes, make sure you get paper and pen, take notes. This is Your World, My Views. You want to talk, call in at 347-989-8310. Log on and listen. Even hop in the chat and chat with us. Now, what I want to talk about, Renee, is some stuff that went on. Of course, on Wednesday, what we try to do is we try to do a lot of Facebook stuff. And don't forget, later on in the show, we're going to have a special guest who is the author of one of the best-selling books out there, and that book is called Living Debt-Free on a Single or on One Income.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is Ms. Marsha Wilwardine, and she's going to tell you guys some better tips than I could give you on how to save money, how to eliminate your debt on a single income. Because she says she understands that most of y'all black people don't have another person in the house with you. It's just you going. That's what she said. She said, I'd really like to help your show because I know this book will resonate with with your people. I said, what?
You people.
She said, you heard me. Yeah, she said, you heard me. I said, you know what, you're right. Whenever somebody say you heard me, that's just an extra slap in the face. You say what, hoping they'll pretend that they didn't say it, but they tell you, you heard me. Damn, that hurts. I'm just really upset now. Anyway, but let me tell you what was going on. We had an argument, and I like to bring this up, and I just want your opinion on this.
Okay.
I had a guy, and you know, he and I, we were okay. Well, we threw the little swinger thing earlier in the year. And he told my man at the door, you know, I'm friends with Thomas. And he said, but I didn't bring no money. Now, number one, you came to an event that cost money with no money.
Right.
That's strike three. That just goes straight to the dugout. You just out.
But,
but he, you know, but my boy was like, since he threw my name out there, he let him in because he told him, I'm going to go to the ATM and after I leave and I'll pay you back.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, this was January.
Right.
Well, he never did. And, you know, we did the show and Carter came on the show and was like, you know, your man didn't pay me back. So the man made me look bad. So I have to pick up the tab. Now, I figured he's going to pay that back. I assumed he's going to pay that back. I assumed he would speak up. He's been around me week after week after week after that, and he never spoke up. And, you know, one of the hardest things to do is ask for your money, which doesn't make sense. It's your damn money. You should be. Yeah. They should feel bad that you had to ask for it.
It should,
but
it's not that way.
That wasn't the case. So I asked him, just nicely, hey, man, today, and this is 5 months after, almost 6 months after the event.
Okay.
Today he said, hey, man, when y'all holding another event like that? When y'all going to have another swingers party? I'm going to swing through. No pun intended. But
yeah,
so I said, we having one next month. And hopefully you'll pay for the event before we had the next one. And he said, oh, man, I forgot about that. So I said, oh, that's no problem. He said, how much I owe you?
Right.
I told him how much he owed. And he said, well, you know, I didn't mean not to pay you. So I'm going to pay you next time I see you. Well, I haven't seen him in a while.
Right.
So because I haven't seen him in a while, I just politely said, since it has been so many months, why don't you just go online and pay me for it? Donate the money to the show.
Okay.
He replied to me, no.
No.
No. No, because I don't have, just straight no.
Okay.
And I was like, what? He said, you heard what I said.
No.
So I left it alone. So I put on Facebook, I just asked the question.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be offended? He has never commented on my Facebook stuff in months.
Right.
So I assumed he wouldn't see it. But for some reason, he saw that. These Negroes are killing me looking on my page, seeing that I'm talking about them.
Right.
And they didn't want to tell me what I can't put on my page. It reminds me of what happened with me and my homeboy. Every time I get mad at somebody, I make a song about whatever beef we had. And they would laugh about it, even play the song around the person to see if that person could tell that I was rapping about them.
Right.
I made a song about him. This man want to try to drive up to my job and fight me because of a song on my face.
That.
I said, what happened to finding it funny? What happened to the joke? What happened to ha-ha? That's like,
because
I don't get it.
The mirror was turned to him now.
I don't understand
it.
Yeah, it's hilarious when you're talking about me. It's funny as hell when you're talking about them.
Right.
So, you know, when he tells me, and this is the thing that killed me about you people. You black people, will get mad at the person for bringing out what you did wrong to them. He told me, you're acting like a girl.
I'm acting like a girl. You want your
money? Because of what? I was like, what? Yeah, because, you know, I wasn't trying to pay you. Not everybody had the same circumstances. I said, sir, you just said no. No means no. I took sex ed in eighth grade, and they said no means no. There was no explanation behind it. You didn't need to say nothing special. Yes, they said sex ed. They said if a girl says no, no means no. That's what they told the fellas. I'm sure they didn't tell y'all that. Because first off, they split everybody up. So it was guys that would go and the girls would go somewhere. And they had no business telling y'all nasty asses that no meant no. Who was y'all trying to force to have sex? Man, some of y'all look like y'all could take some. I say that.
Oh shoot.
Well, damn. Anyway, so he sat there and said, all right, player, you act like a girl. I said, but all I did was say, you didn't pay. That's not exactly what happened. See what happened?
Right.
People kill me. You said no. It was convenient. No, he didn't. And still didn't. Just saying, well, some people have different circumstances. That's not my fault. Most people, when I tell you how to pay me back and you're not going to do it that way, you would explain why you're not going to do it. You wouldn't just say no. It's like being married and your wife asks you, are you coming home? And you say no. And hang up the damn phone. And get mad that she now thinks, well, maybe you're cheating.
But see, the twisted thing about that is you're saying that he told you whenever he sees you next, he's going to pay you back. So he's going to cash this undisclosed amount of money in his back pocket just in case he runs into you. But at the same time, he holds the power because he may say, bump you, I just won't ever see you again.
Thank you. Exactly, because he hadn't seen me, so he could continue that trend. I don't understand people. I don't understand your people. So that's one thing I'm dealing with. So I'm trying to, he's mad that I put it up. Because they're your people. Y'all get mad about somebody telling you the right thing, and then y'all get mad about it. You get mad at the reaction that you get from doing somebody wrong. I've never understood that. You did this person wrong. However the hell they react, you know how you can stop it from happening next time? Don't do them wrong. Accountability. But there is no accountability. People want to do you wrong and tell you you went overboard by your reaction. No, I didn't.
But
you went overboard by not doing it.
But now, Thomas, I am sure I do declare that you have.
Wait a minute, you talking about the time I punched my daughter in the face because she didn't go to sleep on time?
I'm not talking about that time.
Oh, I was about to say, she go to sleep on time now. I don't have no problem with bedtime.
Oh, God.
But okay.
Finding that.
So I asked that, and then I had something I know everybody wants. I'm going to do a public service announcement to all the ladies out there.
Uh-oh.
If you say that you don't want a dog, then please quit trying to make your potential suitors jump through hoops. Because only a dog would do a bunch of tricks just to get a treat. I'm telling you that to your face. All these women say this stupid stuff. Ooh. And we had another thing we were talking about today, and I want to get your opinion on it because you don't talk on my page no more, so fuck you.
Maybe, depending on how you act.
I'm just saying, you don't talk on my page, so I'm real offended. I ain't even going to try to be cute with you about that. You don't talk on my page, so I'm offended.
Well, you don't talk on mine either, so how about that?
No, because I don't talk on other people's page. You see how much I have going on my page. All right. Here's the question. Here's the question. I said you might be lame if you're asking someone, why are you single? What the hell? It's simple. They're single because they don't have anyone. That's why. Also, telling them that they get too much attention or they look too nice to be single is lame as hell too. What should only ugly and it is. What should only ugly and unpopular people be single?
Wow.
Let me ask you, why do people do that? I don't know. I'm pretty sure you've heard it. Maybe you haven't. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard a dude tell you, when he says, are you single? You say, yes. And he says, why are you single?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
how do you answer
it
when a guy says that?
I don't really know how I answer it, but, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer to an extent. And sometimes, I know you might not like this answer, but it could be the fact that you're choosy. You know, sometimes it's about timing.
I don't care why you're single. What I'm saying is it's a stupid question for somebody to ask.
I don't answer them by saying that's a stupid question. I'll tell you.
Oh,
that.
No, I know. I'm saying, even the idea of I'm choosing.
Know.
That's what. But even the idea of I'm choosing. Most women say that, and that's bullshit. You ain't choosing because that's why your last man screwed you over. How choosy were you?
Wow.
People kill me with that. I'm choosing. If you choose it, I better see a bunch of tens in your past.
But I'm just saying that, everybody.
Choosy moms choose Jif.
Oh,
they don't have no Skippy.
No. Didn't.
They have no Peter Pan in their damn closet.
Okay.
Choosy moms choose Jif.
All I'm saying is that people, one thing, I'm going to gloss right on over that. One thing that people fail to realize is that sometimes people are single, whether you like it or not, by choice. They may have a lot of stuff going on. I live a busy life, not to say that I am single. I'm not going to tell you what the heck I am because it's none of your business. But
I believe people can be single because of that. Don't get it twisted. I never said that they can't be single because they want to be. Wait a minute. But you wouldn't be trying to date me. You ain't single because you want to be if you try to date me.
No.
I'm saying if a woman's on a date with me, then the saying I'm single because I want to be is now a lie.
I know that.
Or I don't need to be on a date with you.
Are you going to let me finish speaking?
Not at all. Not at all because we're about to go to a commercial break.
Whatever.
I'm just saying. I'll let you finish when we get back. Let's go hit a commercial break because we need to get to the people right now and go and pay some bills and then come right back with more of the news and conquering debt. Because we know all of you guys want to know a little something about conquering a little something called debt. This is Your World, My Views. Join us call in for whatever you want to talk about. 347-989-8310. We'll be right back.
I have a structured settlement and I need cash now.
Call J.D. Wentworth, 877 cash now.
Long-term payments, but you need cash now.
Call J.D. Wentworth, 877-CASH-NOW.
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 It's your money. Use it when you need it.
Call J.D. Wentworth, 877-CASH-NOW.
Oh, did I do that? Here, let me get my cellular out. Call your wrecker. Oh, shoot. I got no phone. Because I'm a pothole. So... Okay, bye!
Accidents are bad. But Geico's good with emergency road service.
Hello, loyal following. Tommy Sotomayor here. And your World My Views would like to thank you guys for joining us these past few Mondays for our live broadcast. And we'd now like to inform you that we have moved, and starting this Monday and every Monday night, we'll be broadcasting live from the fabulous, the elegant Vino Libro, located downtown Atlanta off of Memorial Drive. That's right, the Vino Libro, the alternative neighborhood escape for the person who prefers comfort and relaxation over the crowded wine bars. That's right, your boy done upscale, your boy done upgraded, T-Dog, baby! You can find me and the rest of the Yo World My Views cast down at the Vino Libro, which is located at 933 Garrett Street, Atlanta, Georgia, 30316. You know what to do. Go to the info line and check it out. Come join us this Monday night and the rest of the Yo World My Views crowd, because we run this town.
Check us out on the web at www.yourworldmyviews.com and check under the events tab to sign up for the cruise and more. Again, www.yourworldmyviews.com.
Welcome back. This is Yo World My Views. I am your host, Mr. Billy Graham. And to my left, Mrs. Lindsay Luck. What, Lindsay?
What, Lindsay? What were you doing during the commercial break? I thought you just said you were going to the bathroom.
I think I did.
You did.
That's better when you think you went to the bathroom. I'm not quite sure where I went. All I know is I feel a bit more relieved and there's more room in my bowelage than most stuff to be put in it. Bowelage.
Bowelage.
Bowels. Bowelage. California thing. The Valley guys call it bowelage.
Oh, okay.
I had a lady just send me a message. She sent me a message. She said, I don't have it. It's a black lady, and I won't say her name. I don't have any debt right now, so I don't think this show affects me. What in the hell is wrong with black people? Seriously, what is wrong with us? Well, you know, we're going to do a show about AIDS, and somebody's going to hop up. I don't have AIDS right now, so this is going to affect me. I don't want to. We just like talking. I'm telling you, we like talking. That's why we ask you, why are you single? Because black folks like talking. damn it.
Especially black
and
women.
We talk about stupid, yes. The black dudes shut their damn mouth because they know they're going to come back on them.
Yep.
I don't have no debt, and the one that buddy going to throw them under the bus. Yes, you do. You owe me, nigga. The whole ten of the show done changed.
You
two niggas clapping. Women sit there and say stuff that they know somebody else can call them out on it. But they just say it anyway, hoping that nobody will call them out on it. I don't suck no dick on the first date. And her girl sitting up there making all kinds of faces at her. Really? Did you just say that, Shaquisha? Really?
Oh, my gosh. You're so right. Oh, we.
Yeah, I don't have no dick. Well, good for you. Hang up. Hang your ass up. Don't send me no. I said you could tell people how you got to the point with no damn debt, you dummy.
That's what I was about to say. That's what I was about to say. Every opportunity.
Yeah, we know we're doing a show about people without jobs. I ain't got to listen to that one. I got a job.
But see, that also perpetuates the whole
and
thing
perpetrate.
It perpetuates the whole
thing. I don't
thing
know no nigga without no debt.
Of us, I mean, I know. I have family members that don't have debt, and I know how they got
they
to where
they
are. They're called what?
They're called Quakers.
No, they're not. But the thing is, that is the key to why we have we're not unified, we're not united, because the person who says I achieved says, okay, now let me close the door, instead of saying, let me keep the door open and show you how to also come in.
Yeah, because we don't want nobody to come in that damn door we came in. And I'm the same way. I'm a little bit selfish. I've been talking to these fellas out here, and next thing I know that when I met them on Facebook, dude got like 10 friends. A month later, he got 210 friends, but 190 of them are mine.
Oh,
and 189 of them are females. The only person on their list that's a male is me.
You. But see, that's justifiable, though. That's justifiable for you to be upset at that.
I'm not saying that's the problem. Like, I always jump on black women, but I because it's more fun to jump on them. But I do jump on black men sometimes, and, you know, and especially when I'm in Midtown, I jump on a couple of them. But the problem is with black men is they will jump at anything, and that's scary to me. I know I'll jump at almost anything.
Okay, mm-hmm.
I will, but they'll jump at literally anything. They don't have no respect for the position they're in. They're at the hospital. Mama is dying. They say she got 36 hours to live. The nurse coming in and try to tell you that she got 36 hours to live in front of your wife and kids, but the nurse got a fat ass and some big titties. You paid nothing she said, no mind. You done sat there and told her, well, can I get your number just in case anything changed so I can call you?
Mm-mm.
That's what a black man will do. I have watched black men do some underhanded stuff. I have watched my homeboys, best friends, be best friends with somebody else. Sit down sleeping with his girl for 8 months of their relationship.
Ooh.
They best friends, you sleeping with your homeboy girlfriend for 8 months and letting this dude walk around with this girl like she ain't doing nothing.
Yeah, they both try.
What would even make you want your homeboy's girl?
That's pretty good.
Because we want to have something over each other.
That's
we don't practice patience. Black man don't practice patience. By the time a white man holler at you, you knew his ass for 2 damn years. LaQuisha, you know, I've just been trying to get you to go on a date with me. You met this nigga in the summer of 2007. He's telling you. A nigga would sit up there and meet you at 2 o'clock that day. At 2:05, he wants your number and how we can hook up. You're like, damn,
wow.
Can you practice patience? Does it exist? My bad, dog. You know, I didn't know. You did know this was my wife. I said I'd like to introduce you to my wife. You know, I thought you meant like slang, dog. I thought you meant slang. She told you to read. I thought she would like Bilbo Baggins or something. You know, just love. She like rings. She's the Lord of the Rings.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, I'm like, damn. And we always make a dumbass excuse for some shit that there's no excuse for. That's the only thing I hate about niggas. We got an excuse for it no matter what we got caught doing. Stop it. Stop it. Damn, ain't no excuse for this.
Right, right.
Just say my bad. You know this was my girl. You tried to get at her. She told me you tried to get at her. Just say my bad, dog, and laugh. I can respect the hell out of that.
Yeah.
I know my girl fine. She got big
that,
ass.
Oh.
No, I'm saying you know your girl fine, but the thing is, you got caught. Once you get caught, stop.
Right.
Don't blame it on me and say that it's my bad, like the dude with the money. Don't make it seem like it's my fault that I asked you for this money. If you hadn't asked me for this money, we'd have been straight, nigga.
Right.
That you go asking for money. Asking for something that you owed. Anyway, I don't know what else to say about that, but except for, guys, we got to do better with each other. We got to talk better to each other. We got to be better for each other. We got to stop being in the news. With your host. Ah, hell, I'm the host. All right, I want to talk about a little something going on. You know, we spoke about, the last show was about light skin versus dark skin. I read this article. Well, I'm going to read another article because I like reading articles. And this was another CNN study.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, CNN good at doing pilots.
Right.
And CNN hired a child psychologist. And, you know, I said Margaret Bale Spencer, and I read the thing to you guys, but they found out. They basically did the study, and it says that one of the little girls looked at the doll, and this one black girl constantly identified herself with the white or the lighter-skinned child of the pictures they were showing. And she said that the lighter-skinned were smarter, they were good. And then she pointed at the blacker and the darker children and said that they were ugly. And she said, especially that one, because it's a lot darker. So she went to the darker picture and said, that one's really ugly. And then actually the child said it. The child said, because it's dark.
Which she learned that.
Exactly. It's scary. But this research, you guys need to go to CNN.com, check it out, study. Pretty sad. It's pretty shocking, honestly, that you would have a black child say that this person is ugly because it's dark. So for a lot of people told me after the show the next day, you know, I figured that this show had nothing to do with me because that's so passé. People don't talk about that anymore. People aren't affected by color anymore. It's kind of like how white people tell you that racism doesn't exist anymore.
It's over. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then once that Obama got in office, it really doesn't exist anymore in their mind.
Yeah.
Do you think it is gone? Do you think racism has just went away?
Absolutely not. I mean.
But why do you not think it's went away?
Why do I not believe?
Yeah, why do you think it hasn't gone away? Why do you think that racism still exists?
I think because there are such deeply held beliefs in various people. And again, it's learned behavior. We don't come out the womb racist or biased like that. So I think that racism to me is one of those very, it's like a strong gene. When we talked about on the Monday show, you talked about Asian eyes, how that's a dominant trait, you know, versus black hair or whatever else, red hair. To me, racism is not a very passive characteristic of a person. So that's usually something that somebody's adamant about. They're very passionate with it. They're strong, and they hold on to it. And usually they also live in an environment or stay in an environment where others have those same beliefs. So to me, it's a fire. It's a very strong and powerful fire that people carry and hand off to others who hand it off to. And it takes a lot for a person who has racism issues to come out of that. I watched an episode of Tyra Banks, I think it was sometime late last year or maybe early this year, and it was about racism. And it was about, it had a lot of females, black females were on there. Oh, my gosh. Weaves and all kinds of stuff. Did not want children. They had children. 3 years old, getting perms, relaxers. I mean, come on. They said, I don't, like you said on Monday, I don't want a child that has nappy hair. These are black people. Of course, we're racist against our own selves. But there were also white people on there who had racist beliefs too. And one particular guy, it was so interesting because by the end of that show, he felt differently and he felt horrible about how he had always thought. Because he was like, you know, I had no idea. I really didn't know.
Well, that's what I was trying to explain when you so eloquently was cutting me off about my daughter. I was trying to explain that. At the time, I had no idea, or I had the idea, but I didn't think it was wrong to think that. I didn't think that it was wrong at all to say, I'm sitting up here, my daughter's a year old, and I'm hoping she doesn't continue to get darker.
Mm-hmm.
That's a messed up thing to say, that if my daughter becomes my color, I'm going to be sad. But I wouldn't be saddened for myself. I would be more saddened for her.
Of course.
Because I watched certain things happen to myself. I watched darker-skinned girls who will get up and who stood up at the show talking about how bad they were treated because they were that color or how when they go out with their light-skinned friends. We don't want to get back into that because we want to go back into some more news. And here's what's going on, some more news. You know, we talked about also the little girl who had gotten shot.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well,
sleeping. Yeah.
Police who killed the 7-year-old girl were actually filming a TV show.
Mm.
You didn't hear what I said?
I did. I'm just in awe.
Okay. I throw that pause out there for you to at least let me hear the pause. Hear the awe. Really? Something. You know, that's what the pause is for.
Oh.
The family of the 7-year-old Detroit girl shot and killed by police is blaming that incident on the presence of camera crews who are filming for a police reality crime show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as previously reported, Ayanna Jones was killed this past Sunday when the police barged into the family's home searching for a homicide suspect. Now, after releasing a flash grenade, which reportedly burned the child, an officer's weapon accidentally discharged and struck the child in the neck. Detroit spokesman John Roach has confirmed that the raid and attempted arrest were being filmed for the upcoming episodes of A&E's First 48.
No!
I love the First 48.
That is what I was talking about.
I guess after this one, they're just going to show the First 32. They're going to show you that
Wait
last 16.
Wait.
Mm-mm.
Minute.
That you ain't gonna see that last 16. Yes, they did.
Right. Oh,
we're not in. This is what they said when I called. I called and I asked the attorney. I asked the attorney for the family, and I got through today, so you can just thank me. And basically, what he said was, he said, "We're not indicating the officer's actions were intentional. We know that it was an accident, but the method that they used in executing the search warrant was flawed. The family understands that the officer is not a monster, and he didn't intentionally shoot the 7-year-old girl," was all he said
Ooh.
To me.
Ooh. 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 Mm.
man, the first 48 might not be coming on no more.
But
it might
know,
be owned by that family.
I don't know if you've ever researched some of the first 48 stuff, because oftentimes when I see a show, especially if they didn't catch the daggone killer, and they're like, so-and-so is still out there, I'll research them online, and I ended up coming across the real information, you know, the police information and stuff about the crime, and they talk about the holes that are in the show. The first
I know they do. You can go back all that stuff. Yeah, I know. It ain't like it's fake. It's real. I mean,
what?
You should be. It's not fake. I just want
right.
to read a message to you guys, and I want you to understand. And I hope she doesn't. I'm not going to say her name. But she, a young lady sent me a message, and to me it lets me know how blind that some of us are. She sent me a message. She said, I'm dark, but no man has a problem. They normally say, you're cute to be dark. You're an exception.
Wait a minute. She said that?
Thank you. Yes.
What the hell is going on? Excuse me. Oh, God.
So you say blinded by the forest because of the damn trees? These trees is in my way. I'm trying to see this far.
No.
How can you say that? That's really like me going into a job interview with some white people and they saying, you know, the niggas are stupid. But you're the exception. And me actually walking out of there with my chest puffed up saying, no one's ever had a problem with me.
Oh, my gosh.
They have a problem with you by what they just said.
And she didn't have a problem. It didn't even resonate in her spirit.
It didn't even offend her at all. I didn't get a finished message where it said, you know, I was offended when I heard that. I cussed them out when I heard that.
You know what?
I punched the nigga in the face.
Okay.
Go ahead.
This is the only thing I can come up with. She must be used to hearing that all the days of her being. Because I don't understand. It sounds like she's at least over 18. So I would classify her as somewhat of an adult. I would think that you would, you know, kind of have more exposure to think, this is not right. Something's not right about that.
I think she like 27. Okay, she told me, she said, it do hurt her feelings sometimes. It can hurt your feelings all the time when somebody call you the exception. To any rule, that's bad.
Is she listening to the show?
Most niggas is broke. You're the exception.
Oh, my gosh.
Anytime you most anything and give me a bad name and then say you're the exception, even if I sit here all day and you know I say most black women are loud, you're the exception, you shouldn't take kindly to that. I'm saying it because I'm an asshole. That's why I'm saying it. I know why I said it. I know where my anus is firmly placed. I am it.
Wow.
But no, you should be like, no. Oh, no.
Wow.
I was like, oh. But no, I mean, you guys got to, but I can say, again, when my mom used to talk about me being dark-skinned, I used to think that, you know, she's telling the truth. All the time I thought a dark-skinned nigga looked good was when I saw Michael Jordan. And that's because he had money. Michael Jordan wasn't handsome. He was handsome once he got money. Have you noticed most dark-skinned men are always handsome because they're celebrities?
Or they clean up. I mean, catch him on the wrong day.
No. What I'm saying is, when you hear the world call him handsome, it's because he's a damn celebrity. You even said Seal.
Yeah.
Seal couldn't get away with that shit just
Seal
walking down the street.
I'm sorry. I don't care how the heck much he got.
Okay.
He is rough.
Okay. But see, that's what I'm saying. That's the only time a dark-skinned man can get away is when we get money. That's why dark-skinned men are the most successful athletes and shit like that and singers and whatever, entertainers, because we know that's the best way for us to get out of the hole we're in.
You're right, because Flavor Flav is a classic example of that, because all them women fiending for him, that you'd have to tie a plastic bag around my neck for me to be with Flavor Flav.
And I was going to ask this on my page, but I didn't get a chance to, but I want to ask you. What the hell is up with these shows like The Bachelor? I want somebody to call in. Call in now, maybe you can tell me. The number 67. Oh, shit, damn, I'm going to give you my cell phone number. Call in. A nigga will talk to you right now. What's up? What you got on, Charlotte? What you got on? Shit, me. This show is boring. What you got on? No. Call in right now. The number is 347 989. That's it, three?
Yeah, I know.
3 is the magic number. Yes, it is. 347-989-8310. I want to talk to you guys because I'm wondering this. Who watch these shows like The Bachelor or The Bachelorette or Being with Ray J or any of these dumbass shows? And I'm not saying that you dumb for watching it. I'm just saying you dumb for watching it. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. I meant to say that I don't understand when you watch these dating shows.
I can't watch them. Honestly.
That here,
I don't
but
care
it'd be
about
like a season. Wait, no. That is what I'm saying. But it'd be like a season 4 and a season 5.
Yeah.
If Ray J ass is found the love of his life at the end of season 1 and season 2, he back at it again. Come on, dog. I want somebody to call me right now and tell me what do they get out of watching Ray J or whoever J doing this. And then turn it back around and doing it again.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, his love can't even last. So I don't get it. What do you think? Why do you think that people, and again, the number is 347-989-8310. Why do you think people enjoy watching this man come back for a third season looking for somebody else?
I think it for some people, it's a way of escape. They're escaping from whatever their, life or absence thereof is. So it's, why not sit yourself in front of a TV for an hour and get sucked into somebody else's life? I mean, I don't know.
Or you can sit yourself on the end of the bed and just get sucked.
Maybe they can't.
I'm gonna answer,
that's why you're watching it.
I'm going to answer one call, then we're going to go to the break. Let's see if they have something to say. Call us 614-596. What's going on? And they got off. Hey, caller, you hear me talking to you, nigga?
Oh,
don't be that white lady.
Hello.
Hey, who's this?
This is Super J.
Hey, Jill. Jay. I'm sorry. What's going on? Hey, I got to ask you a question. I hope that's what you're calling to talk about. Why do people watch stuff like that, Ray J and stuff like that, when they know that obviously if it's a season 2, it must have been work the first season. Why are you watching him find this love of his life, and then he do it again for like 3 more seasons?
I have no idea. I don't watch that stuff. I think it's stupid.
I know. And people get mad at me because I say it's stupid, but they will be like, oh, I'm watching The Bachelorette. This chick been on here for 3 damn seasons. Apparently, she just not a good catch. Maybe it's just me, Jay. Maybe it's just me, Super Jay. What do you think? What do you think draws the people to that train wreck?
Desperation. Their 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, it is a weird thing. I just wanted to get some opinion, Jay. I want you to stick around for the rest of the show. I just had to get your opinion because I saw you sitting there when you were trying to act like you can't talk. But I'm glad you had your phone on mute. Go on back doing what you're doing. I'm going to bring you back later with your traveling self. I hear all the wind in the background, so I know you're traveling. But get
right.
Somewhere and
I'm
get
actually in the gym.
Really?
So
I
have to mute you because I don't want you to hear all this noise in the background. I don't want to disrupt the show. But I want you to know that I was here.
That's what I'm talking about. That's dedication. Thank you, dog. I'm going to bring you back later when you get through pumping that iron.
All right. Well, I'm actually not pumping iron, but okay.
You better not be pumping nobody else, or we got a problem.
Oh, God.
No, I'm sitting down on a bike. So
all
just
right.
Doing a little light cardio.
You said bike.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought I might have heard something else. I just had to make sure. I'm going to bring you back in a second. A little bit later in the show. We'll talk later, all right?
All right.
All right. I'm going to ask another call, then we're going to go to a break. I got to ask, caller, I think this is my girl. This is Presidential Money. What's going on?
Oh, nothing. Just listening to the show.
Good deal. Okay, I got to ask you. You are a person who has watched these from time to time, correct?
Yes, you're correct.
What have you ever thought about the idea of, damn it, I'm watching this show with this Negro. I done sat here and voted on the chick he need to date, dedicated 6 weeks of my time. Because I wanted him to be happy. I seen his porno tape with Kim Kardashian, and I said, well, shit, if I can't get with him, let me hook a sister up that can.
Right. Right.
You hook him up, and damn it, he is back again 3 months later trying to find love. Isn't that like a letdown?
You know what? I watched the show. I've never watched any of those shows all the way through, first of all. But I have watched a lot of them at some point. And I watch them because I like to be in the know. I like to know what's going on, and mainly for entertainment purposes. I think it's funny. Sometimes, you know, and it's hard to understand why you have all these women that actually come out and they're on this show and their friends and family and all these people, they can see them act a fool on Ray J, and he doesn't want anybody. So that's why I watch it. It's never a watch and actually believe it. I don't know why somebody would watch it and believe it. It's more of entertainment for me, but also sometimes I watch it to see the women that are on these different shows, they actually do mm-hmm. other things. So I like to see that. So
now that to me makes sense. Like the one who dated Flavor Flav, she went on did something else. To be honest, everybody that's been on these shows, they're trying to be an actor or actress, get that 15 minutes of fame. They're not trying to actually be in love with that person. Because who the hell go dating a group like that? He kissed everybody one night. That just sounds gross.
That has to be just TV. That's nasty. It, you know, people, they cheat and see other people. That's one thing, okay, if they're behind your back or whatever, but you're just not standing there watching your man kiss all these different women and go to back and forth to different rooms. That's really nasty. So that's TV. That's entertainment. That's all that is. So.
Yeah, because I keep thinking, I'm like, okay, he spent all this time, and he's trying to find out who he fall in love with and whatever, and then they give you the little stupid-ass monologue where he tell you who he feeling and who he about to kick off the damn show because she had the wrong color panties or she acted up in front of his family or something ignorant.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'll tell you the worst one, though, is that chili. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I saw that chili one time. Go ahead.
Yep. That show is, I'm sorry, she can be as cute as she wants to be, but it's to me, it's embarrassing. And it's kind of insulting to be that age and to act like that.
Yes.
Like brand new. And
And this is like a 40-year-old woman talking about, I'm looking for a man. You know one thing I noticed? I'll say this about Class. We can say whatever we want about Halle Berry, and I could be proven wrong in the next couple of years if she don't come out with no movie. She might be doing it. I don't think Halle Berry would ever put herself in position to be made a fool of like that. I think she's just going to ride off into the sunset.
Yeah, yeah. The Chili Show, she's. I don't care if it's entertainment. Sometimes you have to just turn different shows down. And she's making a fool out of herself with that. She really is. To be at a Braves game and you have somebody put up a big billboard with your picture up and a number to call, that's unacceptable. That's embarrassing. Cut that out. That's not entertainment. That's not.
That's entertainment. That's going to be my new word, entertainment.
Even if it is just for money or whatever, she's a beautiful woman. They could have took a whole other turn with a show besides this. That's not a good look for her.
To me, the Bachelorette looks way more classy than this, if you look at it. Because I was like, what are they talking about? She going out of her way to act like she's just so picky. They should have Usher on the show.
Right. Well, and that now, unfortunately, I try to be supportive of different shows, and I'm going to go ahead and say it. Those shows I do not watch, and I do not watch those because they have the blonde, the women, the brunette, but they don't ever have a black woman. So I don't
know. Blame it on the man, no black woman on that. It's a white man.
Okay, get some black men. I'm just saying the only show that we had close to that was The Cougar.
They don't have nobody trying to marry Jamarcus. You're right. Jamarcus ain't on that.
So,
and they need,
the
you know, they need to have the Blackler. They have the Blackler.
right. But one other thing, the closest thing we had to that was Cougar, and Vivica Fox was hosting it. She wasn't even on it. She just decided to be a host.
Yeah, you're right, but thank you for joining us. Stay on, listen to the rest of the show. We're about to get in. We're about to talk about debt. Hopefully you got some debt that you're trying to get rid of, or if you don't, I'm trying to get with you if you don't have no debt, because that'd be real nice. We'll talk back to you in a second, though. Renee, I'm just confused about it. I don't understand. I sound muffled. I just don't know what to do, Renee.
I know.
What should I do?
I don't know. Don't do what you just did right there. But, you know, just keep hanging in there. I'll nudge you. You know, you're right next to me. I'll just nudge you and let you know. Talk some more right now so that I can hear.
Well, hold on a minute.
Okay. Oh, heck no. What in the world?
You did it.
Okay. Talk some more because I need to hear you full.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yeah, but
it sounds like shit.
Well,
it still sounds like shit.
It sounds like something. It doesn't
like
sound
shit.
Clear and perfect.
Well, how does it sound then? I want to get your opinion.
It just sounds weird. It's got a little bit of a
yeah. It sucks. I don't have the instrument that I normally have when I'm on here. I used to have, and
that's okay.
And, you know, and,
that's okay. That's all right. We'll work with what you just
I'm
don't
trying.
Tweak anything. Oh, see, you just did something.
What?
I don't know. Okay, now you sound better. Just kind of stay right
okay.
here.
I'll do what I can, and I can't. Don't worry about this. Show where my views. And we're about to go to, can you hear me?
Yeah, I was talking.
What?
You can hear me.
What was you saying?
I was asking you if you heard something, but go on, go to commercial break, tell them all about it.
I didn't even know, we're going to go to a commercial break and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about,
Wow, conquering debt?
You're just about to say it.
Uh-oh.
We have done this for so long, and you said, and I said, let me just say it again.
No, you said, I thought you had, you know.
No, I said, because I thought you were supposed to jump in when I said, you had that long ass.
No, conquering debt.
You know, we still talk about. What are we going to talk about?
Conquering debt. How to get out
All
of
right.
debt.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Your World, My Views. I'm your host, Billy Graham. That's Ashley Simpson. We'll be right back in a couple of minutes with the topic of this evening. Yeah.
Hey, baby, is that you?
Yes, baby, I'm home.
Wait a minute. You just went to the beauty salon a few hours ago. But wow, you look great.
I know. I decided to try this place my friend told me about called Ladies of Elegance. You know, the home of the tree braid.
Yeah, I heard about them. But what are tree braids?
Well, tree braids are a unique, low-maintenance, yet elegant style technique that can be worn by women with natural or chemically altered hair. It can also promote hair growth and can last from up to 6 to 8 weeks. And the best part is that it usually takes 3 to 4 hours to do.
Wow, baby. You look fantastic. But I just got one question for you.
What's that, baby?
Can I pull it? Ladies of Elegance Salon, Spa, and Product Line are family-owned companies that take a personal commitment in helping women enhance themselves with simple elegance. So check them out on the web at www.ladiesofelegance.com. That's www.ladiesofelegance.com. And remember, Ladies of Elegance, helping you find a more beautiful you.
The $5 box, it rocks, it rocks. It rocks for a meal with lots and lots. It rocks for a jock, it rocks for a fox. It rocks blocking shots on guys with dreadlocks.
What comes in this box that rocks?
A cheesy gordita, crunch to much.
We are the cream
burger, a crunchy taco and cinnamon twist? Both on the list, and wait, let me think. An ice cold drink, that is lots and lots in just one box. It is only $5, and that's why it rocks.
After working here for a few years? I knew it was time to move on. But I wasn't the only one trying to start their career. And everyone else was way more qualified. When I finally found a job I could get, I was pretty much back where I started. Then I saw a commercial for Westwood College and decided to give them a call. At Westwood, I got my bachelor's degree in just 3 years. I got career training in the classroom, and they helped me build my resume. So when I graduated, I had everything I needed to finally start my career.
Start your career with a bachelor's degree from Westwood College. Graduate in just 3 years with the tools you'll need to start a career in design, justice, technology, healthcare, or business, including construction management. Call now for your free career success kit and learn about the careers and salaries that could be yours with a Westwood College degree. Online classes are available.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm back. What?
You sounded so loud in my ear.
You remember that night you sounded real loud in mine, too? Yeah. This is one of my views. I'm your host, DJ Sotomayor. And this is my co-hostess, Miss Renee Bishop. Do you know what you can do on a chessboard?
No.
You don't know what the bishop does on a chessboard?
Not at all.
Well, the bishop. Mm-hmm. The bishop can only move diagonally and can only stay on its color.
That's no problem, because that's all I do is stay on my color.
So if you're on the white, you can only move diagonally on the white. And if you're on the whatever the other color is, like a maroonish or whatever kind of board you're using, you can only move diagonally on that color. So you can't get off that color. You're the only piece that has to stay on its color. Every other piece can move to another color.
Do you know why that is?
Because that's the rule of the damn game. Why ask why, nigga? Damn, that's what's wrong with black folks. You just play the rule. That's the rule. Why you look at you? Why he can't go on the other piece? I mean, why?
I just wanted to know.
See that? You be horrible in the military. I know we in the Air Force, but why we can't get on the ground and fight? I mean. Well, this is the rule we set. This is the strategy that goes along with the game. Sorry. Like, they got a piece that moves in the L. They got a piece that only that can move laterally and horizontally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the same. vertically and horizontally. That's bad when I tell on myself, because I know that nobody in the audience get it. They're like, you're right. It can go both them ways. Laterally and horizontally.
Oh, no.
This is Your World, My Views, and today we're going to be talking about debt and how
yes.
to conquer it. And
yes.
Ms. Renee, you
yes.
had some stats to talk about conquering debt. But before we do that, no, because I got to tell y'all this. Because somebody just sent me something. And thank you guys for sending me a lot of news. Somebody just sent me something, and I think this needs to be discussed.
I hope it's not the news I had.
No, it's just, I don't know. It ain't about the man who put the boy in the oven and tried to cook him.
What?
I didn't get a chance to that. No, yeah, he put the boy in the oven.
I didn't
got mad
at
the little boy, put him in the oven. Anyway, this woman named Nene Leakes. Leakes. One of the
mm-hmm.
Desperate Housewives, Atlanta Housewives, or whatever kind of wife. She's a desperate Atlanta housewife. I'm just saying. She got a nose job.
Nene got a nose job?
Yes, and her nose look a mess. And somebody tweeted her, but I like nose.
Well, of course they tweeted her saying that. That doesn't mean anything, though.
No. And then they put, where did you buy it?
Oh.
No, they would be funny. If I like your nose, where did you buy it?
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, what's up with this pointy nose? Who told black? That's what, again, when y'all
it's
believe
pointy?
That.
Oh.
Yeah, she got the pointy one. Because she got the watch. She had the nose, smush face nose. You know, the like a nigga just smush your nose. You see a picture? She look a mess.
Yeah, it looks like one of those people, and I don't mean to be graphic, that when they, you know, blow your nose or have a runny nose, it, like, lingers right there, kind of like a teardrop.
Oh, I thought you meant Jews.
No,
I'm just saying. She looks like she got a gold stain on her face, boy. She got a Goldberg.
That looks.
She got a Seinfeld. Anyway, y'all can go check out that look on her face because it is wild. And if y'all still believe that, if y'all believe this stuff doesn't exist about how black people feel bad about themselves, look at her nose. Look at her nose.
Wow.
I'm thoroughly disgusted.
Thoroughly.
Anyway, we're going to get to the topic. And, Renee, what kind of information do you have for the people about how to conquer debt? Because I have my pen and pad ready, and I think that you all you guys need to do the same because Renee has some good information about how to basically get that wild-ass debt that you got under control. The number for make sure they know, the number to call in is 347-989-8310. If you have stories or if you have some things that you want to ask, and especially of the author who's going to come in on how to get rid of all your debt on one income, and that's Ms. Marcia Wildredine. She's going to be on. That's a Wildred name. I'm trying to get used to it. But she's going to be on later. She's going to tell us what to do. And the good thing is, she's a white lady, so you know she know about conquering some getting some debt. Tell her, Kyle, because I was going to get a brother to do it, but he told me they cut his phone off. Now, how you going to tell us how to conquer debt and your phone off?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, go ahead. Give us some stuff to talk about. Give us something.
Well, we're going to talk about a few different things, including bankruptcy. We're going to touch on bankruptcy, savings, debit cards versus credit cards. But first, I want to share with everybody, in case you don't know, we know that there are three major credit bureaus, Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian. Usually,
I thought it was the FBI, CIA, and the GBI. Those are the three bureaus?
They're not the bureaus that will help you with your money or your credit. I'll give you guys phone numbers, too, in case you're interested. Equifax's phone number is 1-800-797-7033. TransUnion's is 800-916-8800, and Experian is 800-583-4080. The important thing that I want everyone to know is, before I get to the stats, you are by law now entitled to one free credit report per year, and it really depends also on what state you live in. Some states you can get more, but you at least are entitled to one per, credit bureau per year. I encourage everybody, it's free. Some of the bureaus, you can go on their website, you know, Equifax.com, Experian.com, TransUnion.com, and pull your credit bureau on the spot. That way you can see what on earth is going on. A lot of times the bureaus don't have the same information, because every creditor does not always report to all three of the bureaus. So you might have a score that's totally different amongst the credit bureaus, and it's because of who is reporting and how often they report. But moving on to the stats, bankruptcies. We'll talk about bankruptcies first, because a lot of people use bankruptcies kind of like they use the morning after pill. You screw up, and then you want something to hurry up and fix your mess. Some people, of course,
I screw up and then just deal with the result. I don't need you to point out the pill. You want to take this pill? No, girl, you all right.
To some extent, I mean, we have to kind of take responsibility, right? We accumulated this debt.
Right.
The surprising thing about bankruptcies, bankruptcy filings continued their upward march, nearing 379,000 for the first quarter of 2010. That
oh,
is
wow.
an increase of 17% from the first 3 months last year, 2009. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's pretty high.
But the highest filing states, get this, for the start of 2010, Nevada retained its unfortunate lead as the top state for per capita bankruptcy filings. The rate topped 10.3 filings for every 1,000 residents, pulling it well ahead of Tennessee with 8 filings per 1,000 residents. Of course, rounding off the top five are Georgia, Michigan, and Alabama, with more than 7 filings per 1,000 residents. That's a little disturbing to hear that. As
yeah.
far as credit cards are concerned, the average credit card debt per household with credit card debt is $15,788. Now, when I think about credit card debt, $15,000, well, I don't fit in that mold. Because most of my debt is really student loans. The average number of credit cards held by cardholders, do you have an idea, a guess? What would be your guess?
The amount, average amount of debt, I would say it is
No.
$35,000.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I just said the average amount of credit card debt, but the average number of credit cards that people have.
Oh, I'd say 5.
3.5, you're pretty darn close, 3.5. But for undergrad students, can you believe it's 4?
Yes, I can believe that.
Because they're fresh. They're great targets.
Yeah.
Now,
when you call them great targets, explain to the audience, because there's a lot of us great targets out there. I was one of those great targets. Explain to the audience what made them great targets.
Well, what makes you a great target or makes an undergrad especially enticing for credit card companies is because they don't have any credit. You're just turning 18, which is the legal age to apply for credit and get credit, so you've got a clean slate, like a clean bill of health. The credit card companies love it because why? You're in college. You're probably not working. Your parents are paying your bills. They're footing your college. And you like to shop. So you're kind of irresponsible and reckless during that time period because you're really not thinking about the future. So why not offer you credit cards, which you probably don't care about the interest rate. You might even get a special, you know, zero interest for the first 6 months. You don't understand what that means anyway. You're getting the free T-shirt because you're signing up. And then you get this credit limit of maybe $1,000 or $3,000 or whatever, and then you shop. But when you get your bill, it's like, well, you could just pay a minimum of $10 a month. But if you have a $3,000 credit balance and you're only paying $10 a month, at the end you're probably going to be paying about $10,000 or $15,000 just for that $1,000 worth of whatever it is that you bought that you probably can't even remember. So that's what makes it them an easy target because they're sucked into the system right then. And when you have negative information on your credit report, it usually lasts at least 7 years. Excuse me.
I was about to say 7 days. I'm going to fuck up my credit.
I know, right?
Then next week it's going to be straight.
But the thing, too, that I caution everybody, young and old, about credit is the way that credit works when you are trying to get out of debt. You have these negative reports on your file. Okay, you've got Sears and you've got $500 that you owe them. So right now we're in May. Well, you haven't paid them in years, let's say 2 years. But then you decide next month in June, well, I'm going to pay Sears. So you call them up, you make arrangements or whatever. They pull a brand new report on you. So they're like, oh, fine. Thank you, Thomas. Well, they can, it's 7 years again. The clock starts all over every time they pull your credit report. So even if your charges were 8 years ago, if they contact you and they reactivate your credit report, unfortunately, it can linger past that seven-year mark. And bankruptcies last usually 10 years on your credit report. But here's a stat, or a fact, rather, that I came across that I don't know if you know, but you might be as disturbed as I am about it.
Okay.
Unpaid tax lien. Do you know, I just said bankruptcies stay on your credit report for 10 years, other negatives generally 7 years, but what about unpaid tax liens? Do you have any idea how long those stay?
Maybe you can't get rid of them because you owe it to the government. So I would say you can't get rid of it.
Well, actually, you can, but they stay on your credit report 7 years after it's paid.
Oh, really?
What kind of mess is that? Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. You said 7 years after it's paid, so that means it won't go away. Those other things can go away because they've been there. If they've not been collected, like their bankruptcy. If I'm not mistaken, if you don't touch that bankruptcy and they don't do anything in like 10 years,
yeah,
they have to take it off.
Exactly. And those other things, as long as, that's what I'm saying, as long as there's no activity, if it lays dormant and the collectors are like, you know what, forget it, I'm not even going to bother calling this man anymore because it's not even worth it or what have you, after 7 years, by law, they're supposed to take it off. But what
yeah, so I was right about the government. I was right about the government. No, and oh, and another thing, and maybe you want to talk about this later, but I found this out and it was shocking, that a lot of times they sell it to secondary lenders right when it's getting ready to go under that we haven't touched it in a long time, and it just that's seven more years.
And that's what I'm talking about, the whole dormancy. And sometimes when you're fixing or trying to fix your credit, it's a catch-22 because, okay, I've had these loans or whatever on my credit for 5 years, but now I want to buy a car. I want, well, not a car, but I want to buy a house. And I really need to get my credit in order to get into this house. So some things I need to pay. Well, of course, what I'd advise everybody is to settle instead of just paying because they've already taken their loss, so they're all right, depending on how old your stuff is. When I got into my house, when I was applying, I did not pay 100% on any of my debts. I offered to make a settlement with everybody, and you do it in writing. But because their insurance or what have you has already written off that debt. So whatever they really get out of you is extra. It's just pure profit at that point. And like you said, secondary lenders, a lot of times this happens with student loans. You originally got your student loan with Bank of America. Bank of America then turns it over to Citibank or whoever. They buy it, but they buy it for pennies on the dollar. So that real debt that you have, if you really pay that off, it's pure profit to them because they've already been paid or already had it written off, so they really are just collecting it just for pure profit at that point. But those 7 years or those 6 years that it's laid dormant, you haven't done anything, nobody's called you and harassed you, the next company that calls you, it's reactivated all over again, like you said. So that 7 years could end up being 14 years for all we know, depending on how you you know, work it. But if, and that's the thing, like I was saying, with the catch-22, if you're now trying to buy a house, you have to take care of some of these credit issues, and you're awakening that dormant, you know, file. And it's going to bring your credit report down, your score down a little bit before it jumps back up, just by nature of it being pulled and the activity.
Okay. I don't know if – can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? All right. I don't know much about birthing no babies, but I do know that one of the listeners sent something, and it was about credit cards, and you were talking about credit cards and settling.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told two different things about that, and I'm glad you said that because I was told, you know, that when you – sign up with these agencies, and I will ask you to correct it or not, but I just wanted to say this before I read this. When you sign up with some of those consumer credit services,
mm-hmm.
that when you make these deals with these companies, that not only have you not really fixed your credit,
right,
but they can come back later and ask for the remaining balance of what you thought you settled with because you went through this consumer credit card company or whatever, because they're actually in cahoots together. That it's actually, they will set up these companies, and it will be the company you owe that has set up this company, and they will make it seem like, okay, we'll take something. Once you give them something, they know you have something, so they want more.
Right. Yeah.
So it's almost a way for them to keep that debt going as well, because once you pay something on it, you've acknowledged that that debt exists.
Yeah, you sure have.
But what I read was what Monique sent me was this thing called what the new credit card law means to you as of February 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
Credit card users can expect the most dramatic changes in credit terms, interest rates, and fees in decades now that most major provisions of a new federal credit card law have gone into effect. The new normal for credit cards is more transparency, which is always good, and easier to understand terms, which is also good, but at a higher upfront cost. Credit card issuers and credit industry analysis say that the credit card reform law makes credit cards more costly for all users and inaccessible for low-income families and people with bad credit. The law likely means that the return of routine annual fees, fewer reward cards, and the possibility that credit card bills will be payable immediately rather than a long, a month-long grace period. The new normal, President Obama signed the Credit Card Act of 2009 into law of May 2009, following the passage days earlier in the Senate and the House. Now, what does the credit card law mean for cardholders? That's a question a lot of people are asking. So here it goes. Millions of credit card users will avoid retroactive interest rates in increases on existing card balances and have more time to pay their monthly bills, greater advances in notice of changes in credit card terms, and right to opt out of significant changes in terms of their account. That will take the surprise out of you. You know, basically you get a card and next thing you know, it's jumped up from 6 to 19%.
Right.
And you didn't know it was going to do that, and they gave you 10 days notice.
Yeah.
So that's going to happen. Yeah.
Right.
Now, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
that
you
is.
Get limited rate hikes. Yeah, you get limited interest rate hikes. Interest rate hikes on existing balances are allowed only under limited conditions, such as when a promotional rate ends, there is a variable rate, or the cardholder makes a late payment. Interest rates on new transactions can increase only after the first year. Significant changes in the terms of the account holders may occur without a 45 day advance notice for the change. So they got to give you 45 days to let you know something different, some changing.
Mhm. Mhm.
And the fact that you now get the right to opt out. If there's any significant change, you get to say, I don't want to be in this card no more, and you get to pay it off at the rate that was still existed. Your balance right of that day, you get to pay it off at the balance or the rate at which you had when you were paying that balance. So I think that's good, right?
It is. I mean, I don't know how obscure that law is to say a significant change, you know, because that split hairs on that. I mean, because those are the things that people – when these kinds of laws go into effect, everybody's like, yeah. But I look for deeper because I honestly do not believe that these companies, I know that, you know, the smokescreen is that the companies are boo-hooing and they're upset because they're thinking that they're losing all this money. But my question is, are they really? What is the lie and what is the truth to the consumer? And that's what we fail to look into when we do these types of things or when we back these types of changes and laws. So
well, a lot of times
like
you don't want to. We don't want to touch it.
I know. Then you end up, you know, in debt, staying in debt.
Yep.
And wonder why. Because. Mm-hmm.
No, I was just going to say, but go ahead and tell me, because my idea of the consumer credit card companies, are they good? Are there some that's good, or are they all bad?
Well, there are so many out there that it's hard to really distinguish them. I will say that I would advise against them. I think that people have to not always look at these quick fixes, and I'll tell you why I call that a quick fix. Basically, what it is bundling all of your debt into one thing, and then you pay a monthly fee, one monthly fee, which they disperse to all of your debtors. So instead of me paying Macy's over here, Sears over there, Citibank over here, they do that all for you. So you just take all of your debt, but then you have to be at least, I think, $10,000 in debt to go through, like you said. Yeah, they're going to know all of your information for sure. They're going to get all of your employment history, your employment numbers and all of those numbers, paychecks and all that. And then they're going to tell you based on how much you owe and all of that, what your monthly fee is going to be. And you're thinking, yay, good, I'm on my way to being debt-free. But really, are you? I mean, a lot of times what the consumer credit counseling agencies were, it was a disguise for really them making you bankrupt. But they wouldn't say that. They wouldn't say, oh, well, we're declaring you bankrupt, but they are, because you're not going to easily get credit after you go into those kinds of programs.
Exactly.
They're going to, when lenders see on your credit report, I'm sorry, I just wanted to finish this thought. When lenders see on your credit report that you are now enrolled in one of those programs, that's not going to benefit you at all. They're going to look at that as a mark against you instead of a mark for you.
No, and that was the biggest thing that I was told, that they look at it as, one, you're admitting to your inability to be able to pay your bills, and two, the fact that you're trying to cut, that you don't want to pay your bills in full.
Yeah. That's why
and
I
they use it against
you. Yeah, they do. But that's why I'm saying, you know, do it the way that you doing it yourself. Pull your credit report, and sometimes, you know what, get up off of your daggone money. We're talking about debt. So get up off of your money, I don't know, $30. Pull your free one in January, pay in June to see if there's any changes, if there's any progress, because you can dispute against the companies that have information on you too, and scrutinize your credit report, because people don't realize the significance or the power of your credit report and the credit score. Unless you have loads of cash, liquid cash, dollar bills, you are going to have to deal with your credit report, because whether you're looking for a job, cell phone companies, of course, they pull your credit. Satellite pulls your credit. Cable. I mean, it can be the minute thing on to the big, huge thing as far as a house. But it's very important for you to have your credit be right, and especially jobs. A lot of people lose out on jobs. You may have interviewed well, but the minute that they want to give you an offer and they pull your credit, they're not going to hire you. And a lot of people don't realize that either.
Right. Now, what I want to do is I want to pick up a phone call of someone that might want to ask you, because I ain't going to give you too much good. I can tell you how to get your ass in debt. I can tell you how to not pay a bill.
Okay.
I can tell you all that. So if anybody want to know how to ruin your credit, you can call the number 347-989-8310, press 1, and ask to speak to me. If you want to learn how to fix it, then you should probably ask to speak to Renee and Marsha, who's going to be on a little later. But I'm going to answer the line right now, 407-434-437. Caller, what's going on?
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Hey, what's up? What's up?
I want to talk to Renee before you even start talking. I don't even want you to think that I
could. I'll go into a bathroom. Now you people get bad credit. You can call and ask me. If you want to fuck up your credit, you do call and ask me. I am here for any of your questions, any of your needs.
No offense to you. You can do the other needs later. But right now, I want to listen to Renee talk about the need of fixing your credit.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
I had a question and a comment.
Okay.
My one question was for you when you said that you had you wrote the places that you were wanting to settle with in writing, which I know that's I mean, who would call somebody to make or negotiate something and don't do? I know people do it, but it's dumb. When you do that, what is usually like the turnaround time, and is it are you constantly communicating with each other?
What happens, this is how I did it. I initially call.
Mm-hmm.
So you're the representative that answers the phone. I call, mm-hmm. I get you, and you're like, oh, yeah, you owe us $3,000. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
okay, cool. I want to settle. A lot of times this is what's going to happen. They're going to tell you an amount, and they're going to want you to pay right then all at once. Most times we're not going to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll get into an agreement with them. However, what I will say, before I make one payment, I need you to send me that agreement in writing.
Mm-hmm.
So then they'll send it to me. Usually they cannot fax that. Usually they have to mail it to you. Once you
mm-hmm.
get that agreement in writing, then you have leverage. A lot of people, what they'll do is, okay, I spoke to LaTiffany, or darn near, I don't remember who I spoke to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start sending money. Well, if you do that and LaTiffany feels like, ha, 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 I'm not going to note this or whatever, then you got my money and I am screwed.
Yeah.
So first thing you want is to call your debtors, tell them you want to settle, ask them how much, you know, would be, and you got to negotiate with them too. Don't just let them throw out some number and you just say, oh, okay. Or they say, well, we can't settle. We need the full amount. That's BS. I'm sorry. Get some kind of a number. Say, look, I'll settle this for $1,500. And
mm-hmm.
I don't have it all at once right now. I'll make 5 payments of $300 every month, something
mm-hmm.
like that, whatever you're comfortable with. It usually takes, you know, a week or a couple of weeks for you to get the letter from them. And then
mm-hmm.
what I do is I send in my payment. I usually made the payments over the phone with a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
And then as my thing goes down, you know, they always send you an updated balance in writing also.
Oh, okay. So
it's not really a long
period.
Process. It's only as long as however long it takes you to pay it off.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to get that side of it because I use
mm-hmm.
not the consumer one, but a what do they call them? The repair or whatever they call those companies. I was one of the few people
mm-hmm.
who actually had some success out of it so far. I'll say so far.
Okay.
It's bettered me, but I've heard some crazy horror stories. And
right.
so I just wanted to find out because I know you can always do it yourself, but I'm kind of lazy when it comes to having to keep communicating, having to send it to Equifax, having to send this and that.
Oh.
So I went through allowing another company to represent, do it on my behalf. And I was successful with it, like I said, so far. And so I just
right.
wanted to find out one versus the other. What was the time that you put into doing that?
It's really not that. You know, it depends on how many creditors you have, but I'm an online person. So when I do my disputes with the credit report, the
mm-hmm.
reporting bureaus, I do those online.
Yeah, I've done mine online too. It's a lot quicker.
Yeah, and then you fill out, like I know TransUnion, I think it's TransUnion or Experian, they give you the little box where you say, why are you disputing that? They give you
Yeah, that's how
and
I did
you
got
to be careful what options you choose. And, you know, I'm not going to tell everybody to lie on air, but, you know, I'm just saying, be smart, people.
Yeah.
I
was thinking unknown, never mind.
Nothing couldn't well, they were mine. Hello.
I don't know none of these people.
What are you talking about? And the funny thing about it, TransUnion, I got to say, I love them because they would just take it off. Equifax is the one that is.
Yes, Equifax is a killer. Them and that FICO, boy, look at them.
They are.
Yeah, I'll agree to that. Equifax is an asshole because you sit there and have a
800 credit score with TransUnion and a 450 with Equifax.
Yes.
Really? Yes. What happened?
Yes.
And then
all,
you
every
call
time
them and say, why is my credit score so low? And they say something smart. You should pay your bills, nigga. Hang up.
I completely agree with you. Every time I've had mine looked at, because I always pull a trial report at the end of the year. That way I know from taxes that follow that next couple of months between January and April, I know where I want my money to go towards. So I've made that a habit every year to do that. And every time I pull my score, Equifax is always a couple points. But them points, they add up. But it's always Equifax that's the lowest. I'm like, what is going on?
Always.
Killer.
And that's that honestly is most looked at. That's the one that is most revered. Everybody's like, I don't care about the other two. But Equifax says you're broke and you don't pay. That's the one I'm going with.
Equifax will have you renting until you die based on what they send you. You won't never get a house because of the little number you get with Equifax. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I hope that answers your question.
It did. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
What about you, dog? Hey, I want to know this, and she led me into something, and I'm curious about this. Those people that say they can clean up your debt.
Mm-hmm.
Those people who's at the credit repair service, I see them all the time when I'm getting off Indian Trail off 85. There'd be a little sign stuck in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be like nine of them behind each other. If you miss that first one, you got your other eight.
There you go. Right.
So you call them and you tell them, look, I want my credit repaired.
Right.
Can they really repair your credit? And is it legal? Because I heard some people say that the credit repair service like that, they're not legal. And I don't know what not legal means. Does that mean it's not successful? Or does that mean it's successful? And if you get caught doing it, you could go to jail. What does not legal mean in their eyes?
In their eyes, when it's not legal, they're meaning that they're using methods kind of like what we just discussed, saying, this doesn't belong to Renee. Remove it. She never lived here or she never did that. When in essence I did. I did it. I'm guilty. So for that, they're going to say they're illegal. Do they work? They can. The key to the credit repair companies is it depends on the integrity of the individuals who run the business, quite honestly. There are some people out there that prey on the people who have poor credit, and they say, let me charge you $500 because I'm going to do something that's going to help you, and they may take your $500. They may send a letter out on your behalf to a couple of places, and that's it. They got their $500 because everything that they're doing, first of all, is free. Unless they feel like paying $25 to pull a TRI report, you know, with a FICO score. But me calling up somebody is free. Sending out the letters are free. And what they're doing is they're acting on your behalf because they have a power of attorney from you to legally act on your behalf. So when you're going to hire companies like that, what I would strongly encourage everyone to do is check with the Better Business Bureau first. Two places that I always check when I want to check out a company is the Better Business Bureau, which is BBB.org, and the Ripoff Report. The Ripoff Report, you can Google that. That's a fascinating website. That's for anything that you want to buy, anybody that you want to hire, because those are testimonies and experiences of people who actually went through it. They paid for it. So it's not just people saying, I think that so-and-so is full of crap. It's me paying. I paid for this. I bought this. They didn't deliver. And then, of course, the company has the right to have a rebuttal, to say, oh, well, this is why, Mr. Sotomayor, you know, or whatever. But look at those two resources and get some of your insight before you make a decision and before you sign anything or give any money up. That's what I would do.
All right. Now, for people who, I know you guys brought up the dreaded FICO. And
yes.
FICO, that's pretty much something that when you go look for a home, that's when they pull FICO, right?
Well, they pull FICO anytime that they're pulling a credit, because that's your credit score. It's another word for your credit score.
Oh, so, I just always thought that was different than the rest of them. The number was different. Your FICO score, I used to date a chick that did real estate, and she always talked about the FICO when she talked about real estate. Now, I never really heard anybody say FICO when you're talking about a car.
Yes.
But, I mean, I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm trying to find out is, that being the case, why do these scores impact home buying different than car buying or different than credit card buying? Are there three different ways the same number can impact?
The FICO, one of the things that's going to be a determining factor is the dollar amount of the loan that you're seeking. So for a house, certainly that's going to be different than me trying to get a card from Macy's. Macy's is still going to pull my credit, and they're still going to say, I don't know, all right, we'll take this risk on her. But a house is something that when your butt gets in there, okay, if you can't pay it, now what? Now am I going to be left with this house that I have to turn around and sell? Am I going to recoup the loss and the risk that I took on you? So FICO in regards to real estate is very strong because of the fact that, you know, are you bringing any cash to the table? Are you doing that, those two mortgages like somebody talked about a few weeks ago on the show, you know, an 80-20? Do you have a vested interest in, you know, so there are a lot of things that make a determining
factor. Teddy
Pendergrass
used to talk about that. He did.
I will share this with you. When I got my house, I put a lot of cash down, and my credit was not the greatest at all. And I got a decent interest rate, but I got a decent interest rate. Your interest rate is determined by your credit score, just like when you buy a car or even a credit card. So I got those things, but it was only because of the fact that I had a lot of cash that I put down. When you get a car, it's the same thing. They want to know, okay, you want this Lexus or Acura, how much money do you have? If you don't have
cash
any money.
Cash is key.
It is, absolutely. And people underestimate that. And you also have to be careful when you're trying to trade in a car because you're not going to get as much money, of course, when you're trading it into the dealer versus if you sold it outright on the corner or, you know, wherever you sell it and take that money and take it to the dealership. So when you have poor credit or a bad credit score and you go up into the car dealership, especially a real car dealership, not these buy here, pay here, but they're going to your credit score is going to be the determining factor of your interest rate. Now, a lot of times you'll hear on the radio, everyone is approved. Everyone is approved, but who wants to pay 20% for a car, you know, as far as your interest is concerned? Another thing regarding FICO, since you brought that up, when you are looking to buy a car or a house especially, do all of your searching pretty much within the same time frame. You generally have 2 weeks to go out to, you know, Barranco, Jeep, and look at that car and say, nah, I don't like the terms that you're giving me, then go down the street to so-and-so's car dealership. You don't want to go to have your credit pulled today, wait a month, and then have it pulled, and then wait another month, because that's going to drag your score down significantly. When you're making purchases like a car or a house, the credit bureaus understand that you're generally going to have to shop around. So they do give you generally a 14-day period where they expect your credit to be pulled multiple times for similar, you know, industries, similar.
Yeah, and we need to talk a little bit about the idea, too, as we go into the after show. And, guys, you have about 4 minutes to get in on the after show. The number is 347-989-8310. We're going to answer your questions, and we're going to have a professional here that's answering your questions about lowering your debt and then eliminating your debt. And I am about to bring in, before we even go into the after show, I'm going to bring in the young lady who is the author of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Living Debt Free on One Income, which using your World My View special discount, you can go check this out. Get this book at www.ehomebody.com/living_debt_free. You can go there and get it, and all you have to do is enter the code 67J47258, and you can pick up this book. We're going to bring in Miss Marsha Wilwarding. Miss Marsha, how are you doing?
I am doing great. I'm just so glad to be here tonight.
Well, thank you. Hopefully I got the last name right. I said it right,
you
yes?
You did. You aced it. You did great.
Well, thank you very much. Now, I took a look at your book, read your book, and it's a fascinating book. Now, what made you get to the point where you wanted to write this book? What was it about that you had experienced that made you want to write a book about living debt-free on one income?
Well, the book is mainly geared toward families that have two parents, and our family in particular, we wanted to educate our kids at home. And if anybody is familiar with that, you know, you cannot do that with both parents trying to work and knocking their heads against the wall. And somebody's got to be home to take care of those kids and really put our heart and soul into it. That's my life's calling. And I know there were a lot of people that wanted to do that. But, you know, after I wrote the book, I noticed that there are a lot of people trying to live on one income. It's not just people that are educating their kids at home. I mean, there are a lot of folks that they would like for at least one parent to be home and be available
mm-hmm.
for the kids. And good grief, somebody's got to do the housework, you know. if you've ever tried to work two jobs, you know, it is just maddening trying to, you know, get everything done at once. And I just thought, you know, we learned a lot we've been married 25 years. And during that whole time, you know, we're going to graduate our youngest of four kids this year. And I finally have time to expand my writing. And I'm thinking, you know, this is something that a lot of people can use. And maybe they want to start their own business. And somebody has to work even while you're trying to start that business. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of things we learned that I wanted to share with others.
Well, good deal. And this is definitely something that most of us hold near and dear to heart because, I mean, debt affects most Americans. I mean, they're rare. I mean, I made a joke earlier about the only people living debt-free are Quakers because, I mean, and it's like, cash is king, and we discussed that in the segment before you came. Cash is king, but to have the ability to be able to even use debt and use credit and use credit correctly is something that a lot of us never get a chance to learn. And I wanted to get your opinions and your take after we go into the after show. I wanted to get your opinions and your take on how you're even passing down these methods to your children, because a lot of us did not get that from our parents. We got poor money management skills from our parents. We got constantly trying to get out of debt from our parents, constantly using credit cards to mask other debts from our parents. And we want to try to get people some skills to get out of those bad habits and want to make sure that you can bring some of those to us. So we're going to go we're going to end the segment here and then go into the after show. Renee?
Yes.
I just like saying your name. I really like some of the facts that you brought, and I want you to let the people know. And again, we have about a minute for you to call in 347-989-8310 to get in on the after show. Why don't you sum up what the show was about today, Renee?
The show was about conquering debt, not letting debt conquer you. Basically, we're going over tools and resources that will help you get out of the state that you're in, no matter how bad it may seem, but there are things that you can do so that your state is better, basically. How you can do that yourself doesn't require a lot.
All right. Well, good deal. Well, Renee, you did a great time. I didn't count you down or nothing. This is Your World, My Views. Thank you guys for joining us today, and we wanted to talk about conquering debt. And we're about to go into the after show. And if you're not on the after show in the next 10 seconds, then you will be cleaning your house or something else, but you will not be listening to us. This is Joe World My Views. Join us Friday, same time, same place. Good night, everybody. That was well timed. Marsha, how's it going?
I'm just surprised I'm not totally out of breath because I was running in the house.
To me, I got a lot of stairs, so if I was running in the house, I would just miss the show and rode in on it. I wrote an article about it.
Oh, yes.
Now, Marsha, this is the after show, and basically how this works is I'm going to have Miss Tiffany. Tiffany, tell everyone how the after show works and what they should expect before we get started.
Hi, everybody. As Thomas has stated, if you can hear his voice, then that means you are now in the after show. In the after show, the most important rule, actually the only rule, other than don't interrupt me when I'm speaking, is if your kids are up and they have not been fed, throw them something. If your animals have not been fed or walked properly, please do that. While you're doing that, mute your phone because I don't want to hear that and neither does the audience.
Well, thank you, Miss Tiffany. Now, Marsha, the one thing I wanted to, I'm very glad that you wrote the book, and that was a very noble reason to write the book. And I wanted to know, just curious, how are you using the skills that you've learned to make sure that your children, because you said one had...